Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof, with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it.
Shouts of Grace Center brings you pure and undiluted word of God from the impeccable throne of grace. Be blessed as you listen.
We worship you, Jesus. We bless you. We give you praise. Hallelujah. Father, we honor you this morning. We ascribe all greatness to your name. And we thank you because there's none like you. We thank you for the blessings, the miracles, the provisions, the protection, the loving kindness, your mercy, your favor. We thank you. We have also come this morning to give thanks unto your name for all you have done and for all you will yet do. And so, Lord, as we proceed in this service and in your presence, we ask, O Lord, let your presence get stronger. Manifest yourself in our midst. Let your glory fill this place. Lord, don't let anybody see me. Let them see you. Amen. Let them see your glory. Amen. Let them know your glory. Amen. We bind every demonic influence. We take authority over negative powers. Lagri sofu shapanda seka kagrila tuzia. And we establish the counsel of God in this place this morning. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Bodies will be healed.
Amen.
Spirits will be regenerated.
Amen.
Souls will be saved.
Amen.
And we will see your power.
Amen.
Even as of old in our midst.
Amen.
We give you all the praise.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Everybody shout. Hallelujah. Are you excited to be in shouts of praise this morning? Let me ask your neighbor, are you excited to be here this morning? If you are excited to be in shouts of praise center, can you go ahead and give a shout? Somebody shout hallelujah. Shout hallelujah. Shout hallelujah. Glory to God. When I was on campus, 1991, and there is a looter, they will say, great, so sweet. Then people will answer and say, great, great, great. Now we're going to shout Aluta hallelujah in a moment. We are going to say hallelujah. Ha, ha. Oh, some of you are not. Are you ready this morning?
Yeah.
Come on, shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ha, ha. Let's do it one more time. Shout hallelujah! The Bible says the kingdom of God survives violence, and only the Aluta Christians will take it by force. Are you ready to shout one more time?
Yeah!
Come on, shout an Aluta hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lift your hands and appreciate God this morning. God bless you, choir. Amen and amen. This morning is going to be awesome. Tell your neighbor it's going to be awesome. Take your seat this morning. God's power is all over this place. Somebody is going to get healed. Somebody is going to be transformed. Somebody will be saved. Somebody, your life will never remain the same again. God is visiting somebody. If you are that person, can you shout hallelujah? Glory to God. Isaiah chapter 60, where we read earlier on, the Bible says in verse 1, arise, shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. The reason I love this verse is not because it said arise, but because of who is telling you to arise. It is not your dad, it's not your mom, it's not your uncle, it's not your auntie, it's not anybody you know. This is God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Rose of Sharon, the Balm of Gilead, the Ancient of Days, is the one that said, arise! Preach to your neighbor, arise! What does it mean to arise? To arise means to get out of a low, dejected state and condition in which you have long lain, out of that sleep and lethargy you have been so long in, and to shine forth in the exercise of grace and discharge of duty. To arise means to ascend. To arise means to mount up, to move to a higher place. As vapors arise from humid places, to arise means to emerge from below the horizon as the sun or star arises. Is somebody with me this morning? Let me tell your neighbor, you are going to emerge. That is why the Bible says in Micah chapter 7 verse 8, rejoice not against me, O my enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. And when I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. In other words, don't give up on me. I may be down right now, but I'm getting up. I may be down right now, but I'm getting up. My account may be down right now, but it's going up. If you believe that is you, can you shout hallelujah? To arise means to get out of the bed. It means to leave the place of state or rest. It means to leave a sitting or lying posture. No wonder Ephesians chapter 5 verse 14 declares, wherefore it said, awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. To arise means to begin. It's a beginning. Hello somebody. And this is the month of August. It's the 8th month we are in. And in biblical numerology, you see, numbers are very important. 1 is the number of beginnings. 2 is the number of agreement. 3 is the number of trinity. 4 is the number of balance. That's why a car has 4 tires. 5 is the number of grace. 6 is the number of man. 7 is the number of perfection. But 8 is the number of new beginnings. That is why I'm prophesying into somebody's life this morning. There will be a new beginning in your life. A new beginning in your finances. A new beginning in your academics. A new beginning in your family. A new beginning in your business. A new beginning concerning the work of your hands. If you believe it, shout amen. It means to begin, to spring up, to originate. It means to revive from death. It means to leave the grave. It means to wake up from a state of sin and iniquity. It means to move away from compromise. It means to begin to act, to exert power, to move away from a state of inaction. No wonder Micah chapter 6 verse 1, hear ye now what the Lord said, arise, contend thou before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. The word arise means to appear, to become known, to become visible, and to become operative. The word arise means to be put in motion. Your destiny has been stagnant, but I prophesy this morning, you are getting into motion in the name of Jesus. Arise! It means to swell or to be agitated. It means to be excited, to be provoked, to get angry with the status quo, to tell the devil, no more, not me. You are not going to oppress me any longer. Affliction shall not arise a second time. For this purpose, the Son of Man was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. It means to emerge from poverty, to emerge from depression, to emerge from despondency, to emerge from distress. It means to appear in a particular character, to enter into an office. It means to invade, to assault, to begin hostility. Let me tell your neighbor, you are about to arise. I'm tired of the way you look right now. You're about to arise. I know your shoe is fine, but you need to arise. I know you are wearing a fine dress, but you need to arise. I tell your neighbor, you need to arise. You need to move away from that perfume called Malam Lumix to some other designer that looks... Oh my God, somebody's not here this morning. Tell your neighbor, arise! There are some designer clothes still all around. But there are some others, you know. Hello, somebody. You didn't get the name of that designer. Taylor Lauren. Perfume, Malam Lumix. He didn't ask you to arise and cry when you start to wet your pillows with endless tears and drench yourself in the pool of your tears. He didn't ask you to arise into regret or murmuring or complaints. He didn't ask you to arise into poverty, into scarcity, into shortage and insufficiency. He didn't ask you to arise into a world of uncertainty where there's so much negative hesitation, ambiguity and vagueness. He didn't ask you to arise into doom where there are only disasters and all kind of tragedies. He didn't ask you to arise and suffer and go through life groping in darkness. He didn't ask you to arise and wander about, ramble endlessly and meander in the foggy paths of life. He didn't ask you to arise into affliction instead of dereliction, and you feel as if the devil has contradicted every blessing of God upon your life. He didn't ask you to arise into depression where life loses the spark and the glow, and there's hollowness and gloominess and rejection. He didn't ask you to arise into marital problem when the husband becomes a terror and the wife becomes a knife. He didn't ask you to arise into confusion where life is punctuated with absurdities and embarrassment. He didn't ask you to arise into bitterness and resentment and acrimony. He didn't ask you to arise into negligence and disregard. He didn't ask you to arise into a life of suffering, a life of lack, of insufficiency. But what did he say? He said, arise and what? I can't hear you. He said, arise and what? Somebody shall shine. What does it mean to shine? You have to understand that. Because now God is telling you, arise and shine. Now I have to understand what it means to shine so that I can obey the exact commandments of the Lord. Because if I don't understand what he asked me to do, I can just arise and be looking. But then he says, arise and what? Let me preach to your neighbor like a preacher. It's time to arise and shine. Hello, somebody. Arise. Stop sleeping. Stop sleeping. Tell your neighbor, stop sleeping. How many of you have seen Fadi Oloro before? You've seen him in drama before. One day he was sleeping. He was lying down. And one guy came around, wanted to kill him in his sleep. And he just rose up and said, ah! Tin tissue. Tell your neighbor, tin tissue. Tell your neighbor, I'm not sleeping this morning. Ah, my money is coming for me. I'm not sleeping. My dignity is coming. I'm not sleeping. My promotion is coming. I'm not sleeping. That blessing is coming my way. I'm not sleeping. My brand new car is coming. I'm not sleeping. That house is becoming a reality. I'm not sleeping. Anybody sleeping around you there? Shake your neighbor by the shoulder. Are you sleeping this morning? Tell your neighbor you've got to wake up. You've got to rise up. You've been sleeping too much. You've been snoring too much. Hallelujah! You have to wake up. When somebody comes to you and say, hey, you are not married to this person. Say, hey, let's kiss. And you submit your lips as if you are submitting paper in the exam hall. You are sleeping. Otisun. But when he says, let's kiss, you say, no, I'm a child of God. Then, Otisun, bye. Let me ask you, are you sleeping? When you are created in God's image, and you turn yourself to NGO, anima shaun, you are sleeping. You say, Pastor, I can't say no. You are sleeping. One lady came to me the other day and said, Pastor, my problem is that I can't say no. I said, you just said it. You can say it. How can you say you can't say no? So anybody that comes your way, you open your laps as if you are opening textbook. The strangers you met 2 hours ago wants to take you to bed and you are following him like a lamb led to the slaughter. Hello somebody. You pay your tithes. You give offering, prophet offering, seize the moment, and you are always in perpetual lack. You turn your face to the wall and say, Lord, I'm a child of the covenant. I refuse poverty and lack in my life. My seed is in the ground. My harvest must come in the name of Jesus. You see, because there's a dimension for supernatural supply. Jesus had a treasurer. Judas was keeping the bags. And yet they told one of the disciples, go to the seaside, catch a fish. You will see money in the mouth. Jesus was demonstrating for us that all your blessing need not come from your labor alone, but there's a dimension of favor. And one day of favor can mess up 10 years of labor. May you receive the favor of God. May favor speak on your behalf. May God favor you in the name of Jesus. If favor comes upon the work of your hands, they will think you are doing jazz. I'm telling you the truth. He said, Bobo, you loan come. He said, yes, mon loan come. Favor mon loan. Who told you I'm not using anything? If they accuse you, you must be using something. She said, yes now. Let me take you to the Baba. Then you bring him to church here. He said, where is the Baba? It's God Almighty. She moved loan come. Hello somebody. Tell your neighbor Masu. The enemy came to sow tears while men slept. You are a child of God. You follow them to a party. And they serve Gulda. One of us a fine boy. One mu Gulda. Otu fi straw mu Gulda. Otisu. Oh, Shekiri. Oh, in fact, you are snoring. Tell your neighbor, wake up. Shout at your neighbor. There was this shout of Grace Center. Shout at your neighbor, wake up. Stop sleeping. Hallelujah to Jesus. What does it mean to shine? Arise and shine. Shining differs from sparkling. It's different from glistening or glittering. Because when you say something is sparkling or glittering or glistening, that implies an irregular or interrupted radiation. Shining means a steady radiation or emission of light. It is steady. It just comes like that. It's not a staggering light. It's steady, constant. That is why you never say the moon is sparkling or the sun is glistening. You always say the sun is shining because the light of the sun is steady. You never see the shining of the sun scattered like that. It's just steady. And there's some distances, if you move close to the sun too much, you get burnt. You just melt. You just melt. In a split of a second, you are gone. Because of the heat that comes from the sun. Is somebody with me? To shine means to emit rays of light, to give light, to beam with steady radiance, to exhibit lightness or splendor. It means to be bright, to be lively, to be animated. It means to be unclouded. Every dark cloud over your destiny is cursed this morning in the name of Jesus. Every cloud hovering over your finances and the work of your hands, your relationship and your marriage, we remove it in the name of Jesus. Arise and shine to be unclouded. Somebody came the other time and said, Pastor, anywhere I go, flies were always following me. Flies. That's a dark cloud over his life and destiny. One woman went to the house, to a herbalist place to do jazz. And the herbalist said, you must sleep with me. And he said, no, I can't. And he left. The problem was that what did you go to find there in the first place? So he left and the herbalist put a spell on her. And this woman will go to parties with a broom. After the party is over, she will use her broom to kill flies. Pack the flies in the nylon, go home and fry it with stew. That was what she was eating. Until she developed something like a goiter on her neck before she met Jesus, and she was delivered. The devil is a bad devil. If you serve the devil, you're in trouble. I'm telling you right now, you can't afford not to serve God in this generation. You will be messed up. You will be embarrassed without God. You have to make up your mind and move close to God. The closer you are to God, the closer you discover your destiny and the purpose for which you are created. And until you discover the purpose of God for your life, there's no fulfillment. You are not fulfilled working in a bank or working in a company or being an engineer or whatever. You are fulfilled in the place of your purpose. So if your purpose is now working in a bank, you will not only work in a bank, you will have your own bank soon. If your purpose is to be an engineer, you will succeed on that field. And your purpose is not the course you are reading. Your purpose is not your decision, it's your discovery. Because your purpose has been predetermined by God. Ever before you were created, before you were formed in your mother's womb, God determined who you are supposed to be on earth. The devil also brings distraction so that you move away from what you are supposed to be. And the farther you are away from what you are supposed to be, the farther you are away from fulfillment. And what is life without fulfillment? There are people that have money, no fulfillment, so they die plus their money. Are you with me? There's nothing like joy and fulfillment. Waking up in the morning with fulfillment in your heart. There's nothing like that. It's beautiful. The assurance that it brings to you that I am going to succeed. It's different when you wake up every morning frustrated, angry, tired about life. Waking up with ease. Magic Belushi. Little too more. Is somebody with me this morning? That's why God is telling you here, arise and shine. But the farther away you are from me, you can't shine nothing. You are just sparkling. Yahoo boy is sparkling. It looks like a blessing because you buy a car, you buy a house, you carry girls about. It looks like a blessing. But it's a blessing in quotes that comes with sorrow. He said, leave all those men in the book of Isaiah that are gathering sticks by themselves to make fire for themselves. He said they will lie down in sorrow at the end. Because true light comes from God. How much of Yahoo are you going to do? You lose your soul in the process. The maximum number of years you will live on earth is 120. Max. But when you take 120 away from eternity, eternity has not started. And yet, for some of you, think eternity is abstract. It's not real. It does not exist. Good news I have for you. Eternity is real. It is more real than the physical world we are in. In eternity, we will know ourselves. We will recognize ourselves. Hello, somebody. Those in hell will recognize, one of them hell, but they will recognize themselves. And eternity means it is eternal. It will not end. See, if you say somebody will now suffer for 100 years, you have hope. After 100 years, I'll be delivered. It will not end. Your choice in this 120 years is like a seed to follow God in your lifetime so that your eternity can be beautiful. Are you with me? Identifying with God is not punishing yourself. It is not suffering. Do I look like somebody that is suffering here? When you move close to God, God will beautify your life. That's why he says, arise and shine. For your light is come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Are you still with me this morning? To arise means to be glossy or be bright. It means to be splendid. It means to be beautiful. Let me tell your neighbor, you are beautiful. Your neighbor didn't hear you well. Tell your neighbor. Are you afraid? It means to be eminent, to be conspicuous, to be distinguished. It means to manifest glorious excellencies. To shine means to be clearly published, to be conspicuously displayed, not to die in a corner. You say, I know I'm very gifted, but with all the gifts, where are you? It's only God that gives platforms. No wonder in Matthew chapter 5, let your light so shine before men. Arise and shine. It means you are going to be gorgeous. You're going to be stunning, striking, astonishing, astounding, and amazing. It means you are going to have splendor and brilliance over your life and destiny. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Let your light shine, your own light. And your light will only become real when you have a solid relationship with God. Let your light shine. Let them see you and know that this man has been with God. Where is your God? I want to serve that God. Let your light so shine. Let your results shine before men. Is somebody with me this morning? Arise and shine, for your light is come and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Listen to the amplified version. He says, arise from the depression and prostration in which circumstances have kept you. Rise to a new life. Depression is demonic. having to wake up and be sad for no reason. You have to fight it, people of God. You say, what happened to you? He said, I don't know. But you were laughing just now. I said, I don't know. And for some people, they would defend their depression. See, that's how we are in our house. A man sad today. Daddy is sad. Mommy, no. Sad. I want more sadder. Everybody sad. It's in the blood. What kind of thing are you putting in your blood with your mouth? You say, my depression has come. Don't call me for the next 3 days. Where is it coming from? Tell your neighbor, wake up. Tell your neighbor, wake up. Hallelujah. Arise from the depression and the prostration in which circumstances have kept you. Rise to a new life. Shine, be radiant with the glory of the Lord, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. In the Basic Bible English translation, it says, up, let your face be bright, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord is shining upon you. Another translation says, stand up, shine, your new day is dawning. The glory of the Lord shines upon you. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor it's time to shine. Tell your neighbor. See, the reason why you need to shine is because the world is waiting for you. The whole world is waiting for you. Some of you don't believe that. But the whole world is waiting for you. Let me show you in the scriptures. In Romans chapter 8 verse 19, he says, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Are you a son of God? The whole world is waiting for your manifestation. Tell your neighbor, the whole world is waiting for you. From the very beginning, when Adam was created, there has been a waiting. And that wait will not be complete until you come to the scene. That is why you can't afford to compromise. Adam was created, but he waited for Eve. Eve appeared, but we kept on waiting. Enoch came. The Bible says he walked with God and was no more. But guess what? We are still waiting. Abraham came, brought us faith. He was a father of faith. But we waited. Isaac came. We are still waiting. Jacob and Esau came. We waited. Esau could not fulfill destiny because he couldn't wait. The Bible says he was profane. Hebrews 12:16. Let there be a fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Joseph came and taught us how to run from sex. Free sex. Ruth came. We waited. Esther came. We waited. Jephthah. We waited. Deborah came. We waited. Saul came. And we are still waiting. Let me tell you, neighbor, we are waiting. Saul came to kill his thousands, but that wasn't the end of exploits. David came and killed 10,000s. David came, a man after God's heart. We waited. He killed Goliath, but that's not the end of exploits. We're still waiting. David fought over 66 wars and lost none. He was a field marshal. But we kept on waiting. There are still more exploits to do. Solomon came. We waited. Solomon with the array of his women, 700 wives and 300 concubines. You don't want to beat his record. Those of us here in this auditorium were just a little bit of his wives. Isaiah came. Jeremiah, Ezekiel. But we're still waiting. After the book of Malachi, between Malachi and Matthew, there were 400 years of waiting before Jesus came. But after Jesus came, we're still waiting. In fact, Jesus told the disciples, he said, go and wait in Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Tell your neighbor, we are waiting. Peter, James, John kept on waiting. Apostle Paul came, we waited. Timothy came, we waited. Antipas came, we waited. Martin Luther King came, but we are still waiting. George Whitefield, John Wesley, Charles Wesley, founder of Methodist Church, but we are still waiting. Alexander Dowie came, but we are still waiting. Smith Wigglesworth came, but we're still waiting. Smith Wigglesworth was in a crusade, and they brought a dead baby to him. Say, this baby is dead. Pray for this baby. And from one end of the stage, took the dead baby and threw the baby across the auditorium. The baby landed on the other side, and the baby opened his eyes and started crying. It was the gift of faith in operation. If you don't know what you are doing, don't move near the gift of faith. Otherwise, you can be arrested. Kenneth Hagin was ministering. Here comes a woman who has a large, big condition. The tummy was very big. Now, Kenneth Hagin was going to pray for him. The Holy Spirit said, give him a kick in the tummy. You need to have the gift of faith and know what you are doing before you kill a human being. Kick? So he gave him a kick. And just like, he just went down. And you think miracles has finished in that place, but we are still waiting. Let me tell your neighbor, we are waiting. Tell your neighbor, we are waiting. John G. Lake came, but we are still waiting. John G. Lake was in South Africa, and there was an outbreak of bubonic plague. Bubonic plague is similar, is more terrible, but it's just like the Ebola that came the other time. When somebody's, who has been infected, if you touch the spit of that person, the person gets infected in 2 hours, the person is dead. And so people were dying, and there was nobody to bury them, nobody wants to get infected. So the British, they sent their folks, their people who are, you know, well prepared and kitted to come and help bury these people. And they were burying these people, and John G. Lake was there, no protection, no gloves, nothing, no immunity. And they looked at him and said, what are you doing here? You will soon die. He said, I can't die. He said, what do you mean? He said, take the spit of one of the persons that just died, put it on my finger. I said, you want to die today? He said, no, go ahead and do it. But before you do it, observe it under the microscope. They did, and they saw the live germs. We put it on his hand. He said, check it again. When they checked it, they were all dead. He said, what power are you using? He said, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. He said, the life of God inside me, when germ touches it, those germs die. But we are still waiting. Tell your neighbor, we are waiting. A.A. Allen, another God's general. You have missing ribs. Those are the kind of people that come to his meeting. Missing ribs. No lung. It will be replaced in his meetings. One woman came who was obese. Obesity. Hey, Allen laid hands on this woman on stage in front of thousands of people. And just like you puncture a balloon, the woman went down. Reduced to normal size. In front of the people. Talk of supernatural experiences beyond your imagination. Move of God like never before. But we are still waiting. Let me tell your neighbor, we are still waiting. Ask your neighbor, who are we waiting for? A man of God, Jacko, came. Jacko was a big man, hefty man, but he was a man of God. And he will organize meetings called stretch nights. People on stretchers night. People on stretcher. People that are dying. Those are the kind of people that come. He will organize a meeting called wheelchair nights. People on wheelchairs. Invalids. And Jacko will lift them up. They will line them up. Lift them up one by one and throw them across the shoulder. As they are landing down, they are getting up. It's crazy miracles. Jacob, go and read God's generals. We don't believe that these are documented miracles. In the times of healing revivals in the United States of America. But even after A.A. Allen, we are still waiting. They brought a woman to the meeting of A.A. Allen. This particular miracle is on the internet. Documented. Even though it's in black and white because it's in the 50s. This woman was almost dead. Because if people were amazed why she wasn't, you know, she hasn't gone. Because all her tummy areas are exposed. Eating away. Decomposing. Dying. All her vital organs are exposed. She can't eat, she can't drink, she can't do nothing. When they remove the sheet of this woman, all the ministers on the stage, and he Allen lay hands on this woman, prayed for her, right there before everybody's eye. The first thing that happened, they saw his skin form over this woman, over the part that was escaped. And the skin was first of all purple color. Then after a while it turned and it became like the skin of a baby. In the meetings of Jaco, they will come with people that have growths on their faces. Growth, cancerous growth. Jaco will hold the cancerous growth and tear it off their face. Tear it off. In his meetings you will see tumors on the ground. He will literally remove it with his hands. And you see a new skin form on that part. But we are still waiting. Tell your neighbor, we are still waiting. Tell your neighbor, we are still waiting. These are ordinary people like you and I that God causes anointing to come upon them and used. And God can use you if you are not sleeping. Teen tissue. But if you are sleeping, tell your neighbor, you can't afford to sleep right now. God is banking on you. God is waiting on you. God is banking on this generation, looking for men and women that will arise and shine according to His word. People that will step into the call of God upon their life. People that will say, Lord, use me in this generation. You have done it before, but here I am. I refuse to compromise any longer. I refuse to back out on your grace. I refuse to waste your grace any longer. I want to cooperate with the move of God upon my life. Use me, Lord. God is looking for such people. What about William Branham? He came, raised over 20 people from the dead. People that were confirmed dead. Kendra Coleman came. Tremendous woman of God. Kenneth Hagin came, taught us faith. But we are still waiting. F.F. Bosworth came. We are still waiting. Let's move back to Nigeria. Apostle Yobabalola came. In the 40s. Miracles beyond your imagination. Miracles you will never in your life believe that happened. But they happen on this very soil. In this country. A man that is uneducated, can't speak English, and yet preached in several nations outside of Nigeria. Is somebody with me? Tremendous power of God. Ordinary people like you and I. That give themselves to be used of God. One of those meetings, Apostle Yobabalola was there and they were having a night vigil and they were singing. And as they were singing, all of a sudden the Spirit of God came upon the people and everybody started a song at the same time. Shomorelo go, Shomorelo go, Shomorelo go. And Apostle Yobabalola levitated. He was going up. He was going up right before everybody. He was going up. Passed through the ceiling. He was going up. All of a sudden, they all changed the song at the same time. Bomore Kaleo. Mighty Jakulosa. Bomore Kale. And then he came down. Hello, somebody. Archbishop Bessini Dowser came. Tremendous man of God. Daddy Gio came. Bishop Oyedepo came. Bishop Waleuke. W.F. Kumuyi, Reverend Tunde Joda, they all came. But we are still, I can hear you. We are still waiting. And if you study the revival, the history of revival in Nigeria, you will see a particular trend. In 1900, there was a move of the spirit called Azusa Revival. 1900. In 1940, exactly 40 years after Apostle Babalola, Ayobabalola came up, bringing a revival into the entire nation of Africa. 40 years after, on the dot, 1980, the likes of Bishop Oyedepo, Daddy Gio, W.F. Kumuyi, and they all began from campuses. Reverend Tunde Joda was a medical student. Immediately he finished school, he started a church. Bishop Waluke, Bishop Oyedepo, as students, they were doing exploits all over the place. 40 years after will be 23 years from now. Who are the people that will arise and shine? Are some of them here this morning? Don't let the devil tell you, you. Those people that God used 40 years ago were like you. Ordinary people like you. They decided to plug into the timetable of God for their lives. They decided to back out from sin and iniquity and distractions. Distraction comes to everybody. But when you say no to iniquity, you will find yourself in the midst of your destiny. Bishop Oyedepo, as a young man, in dealing with temptations from women, placed a curse upon himself. If I ever sleep with anybody who is not my wife, let tuberculosis overtake my life. Let elephantiasis, leprosy, let it take over my life. So when somebody is tempting him, he said, look at beautiful leprosy. Beautiful elephantiasis. Oh, Nikobami. And every man and every woman has to come to that place where you sign your life to God. You can't afford to keep messing up, messing around, living your life irresponsibly as if you have no God up there. You can't afford to live that life, because if you do, the devil will make a mincemeat of your destiny. The devil will trample over you, will make a death out of your destiny. The habitations of this world is full of cruelty. Therefore, he advises you to cooperate with the covenant and let God use you. As a student in Ogun State University, I had a choice. But I saw that God was calling me to ministry. God's power came over me on that campus. And as a student, when everybody is sick, they bring them to my room. All I need to do is to lay hands upon them. I saw God's power. I had 100% result. There was not a single human being I prayed for that didn't get healed. Before I got engaged with my wife, I prayed for her. She had very serious tummy ache. I laid hands on her and God healed her. They called me to pray for one young lady. She's a pastor's wife today. Convulsion. Terrible convulsion. When I got there, there were all kind of things in her mouth. Lay hands on her. Commanded the spirit to leave. I wasn't a pastor. I didn't even know I was called. I just stepped into the reality and the plan of God for my life. Who told you have to be a pastor before the power of God moves in your life? You might be a gospel artist. You might be an engineer. You might not be called to full-time ministry. You might not be in the fivefold ministry, apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, and all of that. You might not be all of that, but wherever you are, let God use you for His glory. That is what it means to arise and shine. 3 weeks to our wedding, My wife collapsed. They rushed her to the hospital 3 weeks to her wedding. She was in the hospital for days in coma. She couldn't wake up. She couldn't eat. She couldn't do anything. When I had, I traveled over to Abeokuta. I went to the hospital and discharged her. I wasn't a pastor. Lay hands on her. Commanded the spirit of death to leave. She opened her eyes. The medical doctor in charge of her said, "Welcome from the land of the dead." That's what the doctor said. My mother-in-law looked at me. He said, "When are you people getting married? You should marry quickly." And she saw God's power. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to Jesus. Let God use you. Arise and shine. For your light is come and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Are you going to continue wallowing in your sin, in your weaknesses, in your compromise, and lose eternity, and lose victories upon this earth, and lose fulfilling purpose? You are created to affect lives. And I told you, you don't have to be a pastor to do that. They are born again comedians. And they are doing what they are doing, making people laugh. The Bible says, laughter doeth well, like medicine. That is what they are created to do. You can only function in what you are called to do. There are some people that stumble into it, like Michael Jackson. He wasn't born again, but from a young kid, his father discovered him and said, "This guy can sing," and they started training him. When you hear his voice, you know that his purpose is to sing. He couldn't have done anything. He couldn't have been a school teacher. He wouldn't succeed there. He would be singing to teach them. "Open your books to modern biology." That's what we'll be doing. He's meant to sing. But because he didn't have Christ, he died at the age of 50. Wretched. Bankrupt. Michael Jackson, at a point in his life, was the greatest pop artist on the planet Earth. His record sold the highest number any human being had ever sold. His influence was massive. He could walk into the White House without invitation. When he entered countries, people gather. In his concerts, people fall down under whatever power. Oh my God. People faint because of the aura he commands. What will it be like if he had Christ in his life? He will still be blessing lives right now. What number of people will have been converted in the kingdom of God through his purpose in life? Brenda Fassie, South African musician. Tremendous woman of God. No, woman of God now. But tremendous woman. When she's singing, Nelson Mandela jumps up on his feet. On his feet. She was that influential. Beautiful voice. But she was a lesbian. Hooked to drugs. She died in her 30s. Sad story. It's only Christ that can sustain the level of the gloriousness of your future. It's two ways. It's either you say, "I don't want to do it without God. I've already discovered purpose." And then you enter limelight because you're in your purpose, and the limelight will kill you. Or you move near God. You come into that limelight, but the life of God that you have helps to sustain. Is somebody here with me? I've said all I've said to tell you that without God you can't go far. You can arise and shine without God, but your shining will be like a sparkling. It will be for a moment. David looked at the unbelievers, the Yahoo boys, the wicked people, ritualists, making money, driving nice cars. He said, "I'm envious. God, I'm serving you. I don't have anything. Look at these people, wicked people. Buying nice houses, kidnappers having mansions." He said, "But when I entered the sanctuary, then I understood their end.
Don't look at the car they are driving. Consider their end and see whether you want your own end to be like that. He said the wicked is like a green bay tree that you see this moment and withers away the next moment. I challenge you today to arise and shine, for your light is come and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Stand upon your feet this morning. I'm going to pray for two groups of people very quickly. The first set of people, all eyes closed, nobody looking around, is those oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Blessed be your holy name. You want to give your life to Jesus. Or you want to rededicate your life. Maybe you've been born again before, but you know you have moved away. There have been some distractions. God is telling you this morning, come back, my son. Come back, my daughter. And when you come back to God, God will restore your life. He will restore your life and give you a new life. All eyes closed, nobody looking around. If you want to give your life to Jesus, let me see your right hand up wherever you are. The power of the Holy Spirit is all over here. Let me see your hand up very quickly. God bless you. Let me see your right hand up. You want to give your life to Jesus.
This is the end of the message. We believe you've been blessed. Join us at Shouts of Grace Center on Sundays and Wednesdays at KHC Event Center, Joker Plaza, Ibadan. God bless you.